Identify and explore opportunities to enable the buyer to collaborate where possible with other buyers who are purchasing from the same supplier. So if you're collaborating, generally this is not a very common practice because not many buyers, you know, want to be very frank or open or transparent with the rates or the commercial terms at which they are buying, because they want to differentiate themselves. Sometimes they also want to show to their employers that they are doing a fantastic job, better than the other people. So, but wherever possible, this kind of a collaboration also can be resorted to. So, what are the ethical procurement practices by the multinational companies? Publicly committed to International Labour Organization. So, International Labour Organization, which is a wing of the UN, lays down, you know, all the fair practices as far as the employees or workmen are concerned. And most of the MNCs are publicly committed to these international labor laws, that they will be, sticking to these practices within the organization, and also as far as the supplier organizations are concerned. Participation in industry or multi-stakeholder approach in the area of global sourcing. Provision of factory or manufacturing training and disclosure of audit report. So also provision of factory or manufacturing training. So you are providing training to your suppliers, basically telling them where they need to improve. They may not be aware in certain cases, especially in case of the smaller sellers or suppliers. Disclosure of the audit report, we already discussed that you need to share with them the weaknesses which have been highlighted or the areas for improvement. Surprise and unannounced audit of the supplier premises and the workers' interviews. So while you have the announced audit, you know, where you give a advance notice, also the contract that you have with the supplier should allow for unannounced audit. And this will actually keep the supplier on the toes also, and it also gives you an insight into what is really happening when you are entering the premises unannounced. Evaluation of the purchasing practices. You need to also look at your own purchasing practices, how you are selecting the vendors. As I said, the code of conduct is equally important, so that there are no unfair practices or obligations which are taken by your employees or the buyers. Tackling and addressing more difficult challenges relating to labor standards, living wages, union rights at the supplier region. So, fairly simple, again, part of the ILO regime. Coming to the ethical procurement questionnaire. So, initial procurement planning, what are the questions that you need to ask? Or what are the questions that you need to keep in your mind while selecting the supplier? So evaluate the known vulnerabilities to modern slavery where migrant workers are used. So you might find that in some of the African countries, etc., there could be still slavery. And when you say modern day slavery, it's not the slavery as we understand in US, before the time of Lincoln, etc., but where people are in a debt trap. That means, they are being paid the wages and salaries which are so low that they can not survive. And then they are under the constant cycle of taking loans which they cannot repay, or loans, where the interest rates are very high, and they are indebted for life, to the people from whom the loans are being taken. So slavery can be in many other forms as well. So are any key contracts coming up for renewal? Are lower risk alternatives available? So if you find that, if there is a particular supplier who is suspect, or where you feel that the ethic levels are not right, then you need to look at, are there any other alternative, better alternatives, lower risk alternative which are available? Do staff members have specific expertise or knowledge? So do they have knowledge about a particular region, about a supplier, or do they have expertise even in detecting these things? While they are actually going for any audit, or they visit, can they talk to the people and can they find out these hidden issues, you know, which generally will not be visible? Can external experts be engaged to assist in innovation and improvement? Fairly simple. Are there suppliers which meet the organization's desired standards? So ultimately, your desire is to actually engage a supplier who are meeting your standards, your organization standards. So one needs to look at whether you are able to identify suppliers who are already at a certain maturity level and they meet your organizational standards or requirement. Should the buyer ask suppliers to progress towards these standards? So if there is a gap, then is the supplier willing to bridge the gap? What are examples of good practice among current or potential suppliers? So it could be that while there are gaps, there may be certain good practices also. So these needs to be evaluated. What issues have suppliers identified? So if, you know, while you talk to the people, have the suppliers come out with any issues, you know, which may be plaguing them? What expertise can they bring to a discussion about the improvement? So do they have any expertise in tackling some of these issues and how they plan to improve on the compliance level? Which suppliers have the awareness and skills needed to improve? So does the supplier organization have the needed expertise? If it's a very small organization, it's a proprietary kind of organization, they may not have the resources. But if it's a slightly larger organization, then do they have the resources and the skill which is required to improve? Do suppliers understand what the buyer considers to be high priority or high risk area? So this awareness or understanding that what the buyer is actually looking at and whether you know, they are aware of your priorities and what you consider as a high risk. Because unless they understand this, what will they improve? So now we are looking at the ethical procurement questionnaire as far as the supplier market assessment is concerned. Does the labor earn a living wage, or are they trapped in a cycle of debt? So this is what we talked about, you know, that if the wages are so low that it does not meet your the standard of living, or it does not cover your basic necessities, in which case the labor will be, you know, dependent on seeking loans either from the employer or from other sources, and he will be constantly getting into a debt cycle. Are they able to influence their terms of employment? That means, is it a forced kind of a employment, or they are able to dictate the salary? Are they able to negotiate their salary? Are they able to negotiate their working conditions? Are they having the right of refusal? This is important. Have they paid a fee or bribe to get this job? Many places you see that if you in government organizations, you need to get a job, you have to pay some middlemen. So is there any such kind of a practice which is being followed in the supplier organization? Because obviously, if there is a practice like that, it's a strict no-no. Have they borrowed money for travel and recruitment fees? Because, I mean, if an organization is charging a recruitment fee, then that's the most unfair kind of a practice. Recruitment has to be done, and it's for the benefit of the supplier organization. So such practices should not be there. How does this impact on the risk of forced labor? So all these factors that we discussed, how does it impact the risk of a forced labor? These are some of the signs that this could be forced labor. So we come to the pre-qualifying the supplier. So the questionnaire for pre-qualifying the supplier. So how is the supplier's attitude? I mean, are they positive? Are they willing to change? Are they you know, resisting any change? What standards a supplier is working to? Do they have a standard in the first place? So if they have a country standard, are they following the country standard? And are they meeting those standards? What is the current situation? If the supplier submits a previously completed audit report, so if he is already your existing supplier, then Can he show you a completed audit report? Or if he's already been audited by some other organization, can he show the kind of observations which were made and what are the kind of improvements that they have achieved? Whether the supplier will be willing to meet the buyer's ethical and sustainability standards. So, once you are getting into a discussion and you are communicating to them what your standards and expectations are on ethics and on sustainability, what is the supplier's stand on whether he'll be able to meet those standards or not? Is there any evidence of leadership by the supplier to improve the workplace conditions, the local environment, or address community needs? So, are they capable? Do they have the leadership qualities? Do they have the will to actually change or improve the working conditions, the environment, and the community around? Does workers' pay equal or exceed the income needed to meet their living expense? Again, the same question. So, is it that the workers can lead a decent life, meet their basic necessity, or they are going to be again in a debt? Even the minimum wages, you know, whether they are being paid the minimum wages as per the local laws. What are the labor hire practices of the supplier? So, are people being just herded into the organization, or is there a screening process? Also, how fair is the recruitment process? Are they do they have adequate diversity in terms of gender, in terms of race, etc.? Are there recruitment intermediaries engaged by the supplier? Now, intermediaries could be either recruitment agencies, or it could also mean some, like dalals or so, because it could work both ways. It could be positive or it could be negative. Does the supplier employ migrant workers? Because if they are employing migrant workers, it could certainly be a pointer to the fact that they may be exploited. Normally, you tend to employ the people who are the local labor, but local labor are less likely to be exploited in most conditions. So, if they are employing migrant workers, then that could be one indication, whether they are treating the people, the workers fairly or not. What is the legal status of such workers? So, if at all they are employing migrant workers, etc., what is the legal status of these workers? If at all such migrant workers are engaged, do the workers have effective protection? So, part of the exploitation may be that they may not have any protection. If they have a protection, and if that can be established, that goes to show that the migrant workers have got a legal status. Has the supplier company ever detected bribery or corruption, and what was the response? So, have they in the past detected any such unethical practices, and how they have dealt with it? Does the supplier have any fraud control measurements in place? So, do they have a system of checking, monitoring to ensure that this kind of practices don't happen in the organization, whether it is relating to the recruitment process or even the other processes where they deal with the buyers? So, key metrics for ethical procurement practices. So, what are the metrics, important metrics that one needs to look at? Percentage of business through suppliers who demonstrate commitment and action to improve the working conditions. So, you may have certain, suppliers who do not demonstrate the commitment and the actions to work towards improving the working conditions. So, these can be one of the measures. Percentage of suppliers who have acknowledged issues and made improvements in the manufacturing process and the operations. And this can be measured, through the audit, the supplier audit that you do, and has to be clearly demonstrated. Percentage of suppliers making no progress who have been delisted. So, in case you find that suppliers, you have found that there are certain gaps in the standards that they have been asked to improve, but they have failed to improve, then there has to be a positive action from your side. You need to delist this kind of suppliers. and measure could be that you really have been acting in this direction is what percentage of suppliers you have delisted for non-compliance purpose, number of deviations from the desired paths, number of late changes in the orders, number of contracts with ethical criteria, supplier selection and evaluation. So, how many contracts have the ethical criteria as one of the terms and conditions? Staff turnover at the production site. So, what is the kind of a turnover which is there? High turnover generally indicates poor working conditions or poor treatment to the people. Good human resource management system. So, do the supplier organization have a good human resource management system? In terms of, you know, the terms which are offered, the conditions which are offered, the protection which is offered to the workers. Good labor standards, audit results, sharing good practices with other suppliers, quality of business relationship between brand, retailer and supplier gauged by 360 degree feedback. So, in a 360 degree feedback, you know, the supplier may be actually asking for a feedback from the retailers, from the brands that they are actually making the apparels or garments for, even from the supplier, the people who are supplying the fabrics or the raw materials, and from the employees. So basically all the stakeholders provide a feedback which is generally known as the 360 degree feedback. So this can give you insight into what the people think, how they perceive the supplier, and this could be one of the pointers. So, types of supply chain management risks, fires or explosions, natural disasters. Natural disasters, of course, are beyond the control. Fire and explosion, if it is within the unit, could be because of poor safety practices, etc. But natural disasters is something which is beyond the control. It could be earthquake, it could be floods. Cyber threats. If you have a IT system, ERP system, is it adequately protected? And, you know, if it is not, then there could be cyber threats. Transportation disruptions, this could be because of, you know, strikes or local unrest, government intervention. So, if, supplier is not very ethical, has not been maintaining the pollution control standards, etc. Even in India, we see that the pollution control board many a times comes and closes the unit for non-compliance. So they are given a warning, they are given time to improve, but if they still don't improve, then the units are shut and they are allowed to reopen only when they demonstrate that they have the capability to now comply with the requirement. So similar kind of risk always exists, and demographic shifts. So steps for compliant suppliers, perform a hazard analysis, or we also call it as the HAZ analysis. So whenever they are actually manufacturing materials where the threat or risk of fire or explosion occurs, the HAZ analysis actually analyzes the conditions under which this kind of accident can occur, and basically the process has to be designed in such a way that you never actually achieve those kind of conditions which will lead to a fire or a explosion. So this is the HAZ analysis, and in the HAZ analysis, if you find that there is a risk, the risk has to be mitigated by actually putting in special measures to ensure that you can control and contain the incident. Evaluate the risk, supplier verification, use of approved suppliers. I'm not really describing this because they are fairly simple to understand. So you already have the list of approved supplier. You try and use the list of approved supplier. Corrective actions. So you have the audits and the gap analysis where you identify the corrective actions, and people need to take these corrective actions. Build a program and keep record. So you constantly keep on monitoring the performance, the progress of the suppliers to ensure that there is a constant improvement. Top supply chain risks for manufacturing companies globally. disruption in distribution. So, you know, for whatever reason, natural calamity, political events, etc., there can be a disruption in distribution. So, it could affect you both either on the sales sides or on the raw material side, on the incoming material side. Laws and regulations. So, if you are not compliant in terms of your pollution control, or even if there is a labor unrest, etc., then these can affect the operations, and in turn will affect your operation as a buyer. Market competition and labor issues. Labor issues that we already talked in the laws and regulations, where, you know, if things go out of control, then, you know, the law steps in. But otherwise, labor issues also can disrupt in terms of strikes and lockout, etc. So, with that, we come to the end of this chapter. Thank you.